Good morning. The time is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, the 3rd of October, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday from 5:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. Thank you so much for joining me. We continue now with music by American composer Robert Moran.
Thank you.
You were just listening to Look Into My Eyes from the opera Desert of Roses of American composer Robert Moran, as performed by soprano Jane West along with the Piano Circus Band. Well, today we have an incredible treat because up until 1 p.m. today, I am being joined live by both, American composer Robert Moran and artistic director of the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, Alan Harler. Their talents will be combined on Sunday, October 21st, when the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, conducted by Alan Harler, will present the commissioned full chorus version of Robert Moran's Trinity Requiem. We will, of course, talk about that later and listen to some selections from the original version. Robert Moran is a composer of operas and ballets, as well as numerous orchestral, vocal, chamber, and dance works. A native of Denver, Moran's teachers have included, for example, Darius Milhaud and Luciano Berio. After having lived for periods ranging from a few months to a couple of years in various locales from Vienna, Berlin, New York City, and Milan to Portland and San Francisco, he has made Philadelphia his home since 1984. In 1988, my other guest, Alan Harler, was named Artistic Director of Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, only the 12th person to hold that position since the chorus's founding in 1874. Maestro Harler also served as Laura H. Carnell Professor and Chairman of Choral Music at Temple University's Esther Boyer College of Music. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
It's great to be here. It's great to have you here. Well, both Alan Harler and Robert Moran have been guests before. In fact, Robert Moran is a veteran. Now, Robert, how many times have you...
I've lost count. I don't know.
Do you remember the first time? I was thinking back.
But it was a different studio.
It was a different studio.
It was very funky then. As if this one isn't.
Back in 1999.
Was it really?
I was thinking back in 1999. You were on.
So you had the answer already. You were just.
I had to research it. I had to start thinking. You know, I had to do something.
And then you were way over in some. Where was that?
That was in the other building. That was over at the basement of Holder Hall.
Amazing.
Yes, it was truly amazing. And, well, it's great again to have you both here. We will be listening to plenty of music, of course, during the next 3 hours. However, before we do, let's hear a bit about your early experiences in music. How did each of you in general get interested? Robert? Alan? Who wants to take over?
How did I get interested? I found I grew up in the cornfields of Illinois, and I found a piano at my grandparents' farmhouse. And the first thing I did was take marbles and made probably the first prepared piano ever. Adding marbles to this upright, this old upright piano.
Yeah.
So I started piano lessons, you know, when I was very, very young. And I don't know, from there I studied conducting and became a conductor.
There you are. Robert, what about you? But why don't we get closer to the mic because we're sharing one mic.
You need more microphones around this place.
Really? Well, I mean, I do the best I can. I guess I do the best I can.
What do you mean? It's always there. You know, the radio was always on. The Met. I was an opera junkie when I was about six because the opera was always on and it seemed like a reasonable thing to do. And I've always been attracted to the opera because of all the sex and violence.
Yeah.
And so that's how I ended up writing it. It's always been there. It's like, why do fish live in water? I mean, you know,
I don't know. So your first compositions, what were they like?
I don't know. I mean, I wrote those to keep myself busy in the sixth grade, but those were little piano sonatas.
Really?
Little diddly things, you know.
Any of them published?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just asking, you know.
God knows what happened to those things. You know, but
no.
I know what my first programs were like. I had a golden book of favorite songs.
This
ancient thing, the golden book of favorite songs, and I would go through and pick songs and make my brother and my parents do a program of these songs that I'd put together.
Oh, really?
Out of this book.
Right from this book.
Right from the book, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they did it.
And they did it.
And they did.
That's the amazing thing.
That's great. That's great. That's great.
Well, both Robert Moran and Alan Harler are here together because their talents will be combined on Sunday, October 21st, when the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, conducted by Alan Harler, will present the commissioned full chorus version of Robert Moran's Trinity, Requiem. Now, Alan, before we go further, give us some background about the Mendelssohn Club.
Mendelssohn Club is a community chorus, a large community chorus. We have 145 singers, mm-hmm. and it started 100 and we're coming up to our 140th anniversary, actually, mm-hmm. next mm-hmm. season. And we do both masterworks, major masterworks, but in the last 20 years, 25 years, my time with Mendelssohn Club, mm-hmm. we've also had a really strong mission to commission new American choral music.
Yeah.
And that started, actually, in 1990 with commissioning Bob Moran.
What was the
that
piece?
Is that the first one?
Yes, wow. Yeah.
What was the piece? Was
that was the
Chant de Cygne,
the Requiem.
Oh, and
Requiem
we're Chant de Cygne. So this is going to be a nice.
And
package,
so it's very interesting because Bob and I were back in the mm. cathedral, in the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul, mm-hmm. when I asked Bob to do the Requiem Chant de Cygne, he went to the cathedral. I went with you actually.
We just sat
in the cathedral,
listened to
the acoustics, and that piece was. That Requiem was written to go with the Mozart Requiem,
yes.
And Bob divided the orchestra, the Mozart orchestra, into four orchestras. We divided the chorus into four choruses, had four conductors, and we were at the four corners of the cathedral. Mm-hmm. A wonderful piece.
Thank you, but of course it's impossible to record it and make sense.
And make sense of what it's about.
Yes.
So going back to the Venetians.
Yeah, well, exactly, and there were, and we did this recording.
Yeah,
and it was a wonderful professional recording, but it's very difficult to hear it
if you're not hearing it
quadraphonic, because of course the best seat in the house was in the very center of the cathedral, with these beautiful sound palette wafting over you.
Yeah, there's some very interesting, wonderful, interesting pieces of that style with multiple ensembles. I'm thinking right now of things like Gruppen of Stockhausen,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
things like that, mm-hmm. where you don't get the gist of the work unless you are
in the middle, yeah.
right. In the middle. Mm-hmm. So, yes, but we may hear some of that actually at the end, that Requiem.
But the interesting thing about that was, I was trying to figure out how do you approach a Requiem? Since they're doing the Mozart Requiem, you might as well start mm-hmm. with the best of friends, and here's the Mozart Requiem. And then I thought, it would be very strange for me to write another Requiem, two in one show. So I told Alan, I said, mm-hmm. my teacher Darius Mio had pointed out once to me, he said, why don't you sometime use the 12-tone row, since you studied in Vienna with Apostle, why don't you use the 12-tone row that I mm-hmm. found mm-hmm. in Don Giovanni? And I said, what? 12-tone
yes,
row
that's
Don
right.
Giovanni.
I remember reading about that.
And he said, yes, and he got out the score and put it up the piano, and there it was. And we went through the 12-tone row. It's in the graveyard scene. So he said, write something on that, variations or whatever. And I didn't get around to it, but I never forgot it. And I have a copy of the letter that he sent to Della Piccolo about this 12-tone row.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden I'm thinking, wait a minute, graveyard music, 12-tone row, Mozart, that's what I'm going to base the last section mm-hmm. of this Requiem that I'm writing. And I used text that Mozart said, supposedly, the day he died, about music. So that was...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And hopefully, like I mentioned, we'll hear some of that Requiem later. But now we are going to go to another Requiem mm-hmm. of yours, and that's Trinity Requiem. And we will be listening to four sections from this work, and I have to say, this is a tearjerker. It is so beautiful.
Is it? I just write the notes
it
down.
Is so it is it is so, so beautiful. And the work, of course, commemorates the 10th anniversary of September 11th, mm-hmm. 2001. Robert, why don't you take over? Share with us a bit about the work's background.
Well, it was originally commissioned by Robert Rigel, who was the organist there at Trinity Wall Street, which is across the street from World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. You know, the amazing thing about the World Trade Center, and it's when it came down, that it didn't destroy Trinity, the chapel, and the church itself. And the only thing that stopped it was an old old tree. Did you know that, Alan?
No, I
yes,
didn't.
Yes, there was an 200-year-old tree between the wreckage as it came down and spread and the church. And that wreckage stopped right at the tree. The tree wouldn't, and that's what saved it. Wow. That's what saved. I mean, there were thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of damage to the music in the library alone. But nevertheless, the structures were not, you know. And so that's that was that. And so anyway, they wanted, when they said the 10th anniversary, we'll commission a requiem. And Robert had started because he knew that the in the five boroughs, the music in elementary school and junior is non-existent. He wanted to start a kids' chorus there at Trinity and sing everything. Not had nothing to do with religion. And so he had all these kids, and all these kids would come in every day, and they, I mean, every once a week or whatever, they whenever they rehearsed. And so I went and heard them, and I said, okay, but how old are these kids? And we found out that they were like, at the, you know, September 11th, they were 1 year old.
Infants,
Or not at, or not even born.
Not even born. Some of One of them was not even born. And then, but the rest of them were like 1 year old. It was funny that it was. And so I said, this doesn't make any sense. You know, they that doesn't. That, so we have to find a direction. Why are kids singing Requiem? It's ghoulish. It's Kindertotenlieder, right?
Right.
And so then I began to think about it. And I remember that there's a story about the little girl in Kosovo whose family was wiped out, and you know, and just these terrible stories, and what happens to these kids when they grow up? How does it affect them? And then I had remember my friends in London, who were sent away to Wales during World War II, little kids, and they came back and they said one of their friends came back and the house was gone, the parents were dead, and what did they have nothing.
Yeah.
That makes sense to the kids. And they see this all the time on television, where children are left with nothing. And I said, that makes sense. That's what this is all about. And that's how we approached it. So we did the piece. And
it is quite a piece.
And Alex Hermann, my organist friend came and conductor, came in from Munich to make the recording, so joined us on that. And we put it together, put the recording together in that space.
Some beautiful music for a harp and strings in that. Cellos, those four cellos really.
We thought about you know, a string quartet, and I said, no, we've got
the
all these.
The richness of cellos.
We've got all these kids.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's a win-win situation for cellos.
Yeah.
And but we had all these kids, so that's sopranos forever. So we didn't need two violins, and I thought, well, cellos would be great.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear the final four sections of this work. We listen to the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, the Pia Jesu, and In Paradisum. Featured in our performance is the Trinity Youth Chorus and members of Trinity Choir, Trinity Wall Street, conducted by Robert Rigel. We listen now to the final four sections of Robert Moran's Trinity Requiem, commemorating the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001.
Thank you.
were just listening to the final four sections from Robert Moran's Trinity Requiem. Featured in our performance was the Trinity Youth Chorus and members of Trinity Choir, Trinity Wall Street, conducted by Robert Rigel. An Innova compact disc, music by my guest, Robert Moran. Well, a new full chorus version of Trinity Requiem will take place on Sunday. It will be heard on Sunday, October 21st at 3 p.m. at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, 1723 Race Street in Philadelphia. The program will also include Anton Bruckner's Mass No. 2 in E minor and the world premiere of another choral work of Robert Moran, which we'll talk about in just a moment. You can purchase tickets by going to the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia website. The address is www.mcchorus.org. Again, that's www.mcchorus.org. Now, Robert, you're back. I see you're ready to talk. It looks like you're ready to pound me over the head.
Yes, right.
But let's talk about the new full chorus version of Trinity Requiem. Is there anything unique you did in putting it for a full chorus other than the obvious? I mean, were there any changes or...
No.
Or don't you remember? Next question. Next question.
So, I mean, you know, you take a two-voice work, and then you have to look at it, and you say, well, what am I going to do now with a big SATB? And Mendelssohn Club is 140 voices.
Yes,
and yet
right.
you have to hopefully keep the mood, which is very, I hate to say simple, but it's like very gentle and very childlike and naive, that quality. So that's the tricky one. So I just put the notes down and hope for the best, and then Alan takes it over, and it's his baby.
And that's Alan take over right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, right.
That was a good segue, Robert.
I deliberately did that.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Close to the mic.
We're not exactly trying to make our 140 adult voices sound like a children's choir, but we are trying to keep the transparency and the gentleness and the beauty of this music. Actually, when we were invited to perform at the Basilica, I immediately thought of Bob, of course, because he writes Basilica music. and my idea was that it would have been really wonderful to repeat the Chant de Signe that we had done in 1990. And I went to Bob with that idea, and what, Bob, you weren't so interested, actually.
No.
You said, no, let's try something different. Let's do something different. So, of course, I'd heard the Trinity Requiem and the beauty of it, and so we talked about the possibility of making that into a piece for SATB, maintaining the instrumental ensemble, the four cellos, harp, and organ. And I think it works beautifully. I mean, we're in a space, of course, with a 7 or 8 second reverb. And so as a conductor, you really have to think what is going to work in that kind of an acoustic. And explains why I'm doing the Bruckner, the second mass with Bob's Requiem. Bruckner, of course, wrote for large cathedral spaces.
Absolutely,
and,
sure.
The typical Bavarian chorus at the time of Bruckner was, 150 voices. So this is music that was really written for the kind of ensemble we have and that works in a cathedral space. There in Bruckner, there are lots of big empty spaces, measures of rest. And that is because he was, giving the sound time to travel through the cathedral, right? Mm.
Well, we're also going to have on this concert a new work, Robert, of yours. Tell us a little bit about that.
Alan said that he had with the Bruckner about 35 minutes, and my Trinity Requiem is about 30 minutes,
something like that.
Yeah. So we needed another, 15 minutes.
We wanted it about 15
and minutes. We really were trying to figure out what to do.
Was a stumper, trying to figure out what would fit the acoustic and go with Moran and Bruckner.
Yeah.
And the best solution we thought was more Moran.
Yes, it's always the best solution. I was worried he was going to say,
"Oh, we're so modest too."
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I'm known for my modesty.
Yeah.
Modest Moran.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah. I was really actually worried that he was going to find another Bruckner.
Oh, well, yeah. That's your favorite composer.
Well, yeah, one of my very favorite composers. having lived
what about
in
one
Vienna,
of the other
and you had to hear Bruckner, or you weren't. You know, you weren't kosher if you didn't go to every Bruckner. And I just couldn't take it. I could not take it. But, of course, all the Bruckner, well, the symphonies, of course, are done in concert halls. Yeah. But the big religious things, mm-hmm. once in a while you could catch it in a cathedral, but many of them were done in concert versions. But I mm-hmm. think hearing them in something like the Basilica in Philadelphia, where you got that acoustic, mm-hmm. changes the quality
it
of the
works,
piece,
yeah.
and it's much more. You know, it's. And he was a great organist, so he knew sound in this mm-hmm. space, and that's important.
Sure, sure.
And besides, he was a devoted Wagner freak, so that's also cool. Which and you know, Wagner's 2013, by the way. I just want to mention that
yes.
right now.
It's coming up. It's
yeah.
before you know it.
Yeah.
Well,
the Benedictus of the Bruckner is very Wagner-like. I think.
Well, I would like to take this time now to remind you all that the special membership drive edition of Classical Discoveries will be 1 week from today, from 5 a.m. until 1 p.m. There are many special CD premiums which I have chosen specifically for listeners of this program. To see a complete list of these, you can go to my website at www.classicaldiscoveries.org. These are offered to contributors who call only during Classical Discoveries between 5 a.m. and 1 p.m. next Wednesday. Now, four of these CDs are devoted to music by Robert Moran. These have been very graciously provided by Philip Blackburn of Innova. One of them is Trinity Requiem, which is the featured work we just heard. Another one is Open Veins, which has excerpts or the arias, interludes, and inventions from the beautiful Desert of Roses, the opera. Also, Robert Moran Mantra. It's a collection of various works. And then a CD titled Cabinet of Curiosities, a disc of percussion music. These will all be available if you phone in during Classical Discoveries special fun drive edition next week. Now, does anybody want to, I guess at this point, since we are approaching a fun drive, say something that would encourage people why they should donate?
Well, I'm amazed that you still have to encourage them because it's so obvious that that's what they need to do anyway, and that this is such a special a program. I don't know of any other.
I don't know of any other program like this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sure that your listeners know that. And where else will you hear on radio programming like you get on this show?
Well, thanks, guys. And then remember, you'll be able to have your opportunity to make that pledge 1 week from today. And do check out the special CD premiums on my website. My website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Now, another Innova release you can receive if you call in next Wednesday features the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, conducted by Alan Harler, who is my guest today, with Robert Moran. This CD, Metamorphosis, includes works by three American composers, and we are going to listen to a selection from this CD in just a few minutes after we talk a little more to Alan Harler. Now, Alan, you are a strong supporter of American music and have been for years.
Absolutely.
How many works by American composers have you commissioned for the Mendelssohn Club?
We've commissioned 51 pieces in the last 25 years. The most recent and the beginning was Bob Moran. Right.
And he's, well, this is such a, you know, this right. is such a festive occasion today, you know, to have
we
both
had,
of you here.
We had commissions in between, too, of Bob's.
What were some of the other works?
Another companion piece for Mozart, actually, was the companion piece for the Mozart Mass in C. Bob wrote an Agnus Dei, and Ita Missa Est, which is pretty much rock and roll, to go with the Mozart Mass
in C. Who were some of the other you've commissioned so many people, it's hard to say.
An early one was Osvaldo Golijov. But that was very early in his career. He was still a student at Penn. Recently, Jennifer Higdon, Jim Primosh, Andrea Clearfield, Pauline Oliveris, we had a wonderful time doing a piece that was a large part guided improvisation in which the whole chorus was moving. And
that must have been incredible.
It was. And then a couple of years ago, a full evening piece by David Lang called Battle Hymns.
Yes, I remember that.
And that
was also
with the Leah Stein Dance Company.
Wow, so you've done a great service to American composers.
I hope we have. We certainly have been responsible for commissioning some music, a lot of music that still has a life and is being performed, and that's great.
That's important because, you know, one thing about American music, or new music in general, contemporary, you know, a work will be commissioned, it'll have a performance, and often it'll be loved by the audience, but sometimes you don't hear it much anymore after the initial, which I think is a real problem.
Exactly. There used to be, several years ago, Chorus America had a grant that was for second performances, and it was the most wonderful grant because it encouraged conductors to think about, you know, to find commissioned new works that had been premiered, and then nothing happened, you know, happening after the premiere. We try to promote the music that we've commissioned, and often we've had great success with that. Yeah. For instance, Bob's pieces that we've commissioned have been done a lot and recorded, and we're happy about that.
I don't blame you. Well, now we're going to go to music of Jennifer Higdon, winner of the Pulitzer Prize for her violin concerto, and we are going to listen to a selection from the CD Metamorphosis on Innova. We will hear Jennifer Higdon's On the Death of the Righteous. Alan, would you like to say something about the piece?
Yes, this was another companion piece. I mean, in that this was our 120, maybe our 135th anniversary.
Do you remember the first? Oh, no, Alan.
Yes, people often ask me if I'm the founding director.
Well, you've been there for a while, but go ahead.
And we were doing the Verdi Requiem at the Kimmel Center, and I wanted a little more time in the program and talked to Jennifer about writing a piece that would be, you know, that would be an opener for the Verdi Requiem that would use the same orchestra. And she was excited about that and came up with a beautiful piece that uses all of it, including the offstage brass. Mm-hmm. She did change three of the trumpets from regular trumpet to piccolo trumpet, which accounts for this beautiful shimmering golden sound. And On the Death of the Righteous, so it had a textual connection, and we loved doing it.
Well, we're going to hear this work now. We listen now to On the Death of the Righteous of Jennifer Higdon. We hear the Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia along with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia. The conductor is my guest, Alan Harler.